Yes. In our fund, the German society is able to invest in our fund. And we, with the raised money, we invest in the Canadian and in the US companies. And I'm here at Bitzinger to come in touch. I came in touch with all the big players. I want to invite them to tell their story and show the cannabis business and industry what's going on over here over years. Really big industrial industry, state-of-the-art production facilities, nice dispensaries and so on.
Benzinga 2024. There's all kinds of activity. It's past lunch now.
Yep.
It's 1:44, but we're meeting all kinds of fantastic individuals, learning all kinds of things. People are looking for capital. People are offering capital. And there's a lot of thought leaders and a lot of influential people here. This is definitely a really solid Benzinga conference. And we are pleased to be introduced and joined by Daniel, who you're going to clearly find out is German.
Right.
You're German. I love Germany. And we love Germany for many, many reasons. Not the least of which is that you guys are a great ally of ours, America, Germany, good friends. But also that you guys have recently jumped into the
legal cannabis
pool, like cannonballed full legalization.
Yep.
Right. It's a really historic moment for Germany, but I think also for cannabis. Because
tell us what's going on in Germany.
Yeah. Germany legalized medical cannabis in 2017, and no one of us imagined that the rec market maybe is so close as it is now 7 years later. Okay, and at the 1st of April, just a few days ago,
Medical 2017,
and now at the 1st April, the law is signed, and that is the start for the process of legalization. But I think it's important to know how it works, because we call it, it is in two steps. First steps, 5 years.
Can you get your mic a little closer? A little bit closer.
Like this?
Yeah, up a little higher.
A little bit higher?
Yeah, there you go.
Here we go.
You know what I would do if I wanted to find out how German legalization is going to work? I would find somebody from Germany at Benzinga.
And talk to them about how Germany is working, right?
I would put them on. So it's up to you to share with our audience. How does it work in Germany?
Okay, I tried to do, from my aspect and my view, I'm really close to the politics and different big lobbyism, because I'm in business for over 7 years now. I run and founded the first cannabis equity fund in Europe.
The first cannabis equity fund in Europe.
Right, it's CanSol.
Like
yeah, it's CanSol fund.
CanSol.
Yeah, it's hemp global equity stocks. And so we are public, we are UCITS fund, we have got the
light. It's public.
It's public, right. So it's so important for me to be here at Benzinga to meet all the big players.
Does public mean that the ordinary person can buy stock? The same thing it means to you, a publicly traded company?
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was quite complicated and difficult in the circumstances we were, and it's getting easier now, but it's quite compare and complex, like to the US, how it's... we have to do a little bit of workarounds we had to do and so on. But we can buy with our stocks, with our fund, all cannabis stocks, all MSOs out of the CSE in Canada, OTC in the US. And so I think we are so an interesting market for the public going cannabis companies also from the US, because the German society is able to invest directly in the stocks and over my fund. And I think that's a really huge bridge. And that is one topic we can talk about. But that's the reason where I have my experience. Yeah, and now we can come back to the legalization as you want.
Well, so let's talk about the fund here in a second. But what's April 1st, Germany legalized? What's happening next?
Yeah, the next is
are there dispensaries, manufacturing, cultivation?
That's it. It's like decriminalization. That is the first process, yeah?
Okay,
that means now you are allowed to smoke weed public. That is allowed. It is allowed that you can take 25 grams of cannabis when you are going out. You are allowed to grow free plants at home.
Three plants. So you got gummies, vapes?
No, nothing at all at this stage. Okay? So that is the view.
But are you allowed to have cannabis in the gummies?
Not in the gummies, but in the pockets, man. Weed.
So maybe... Are you allowed to have the flower in the gummy, or...?
No. We have the flowers, and we smoke the flower, man.
Right. But it's just flower, though, right? It's
right.
Nothing else.
It's
no vapes,
no infused drinks, no... Maybe
no
you can
dabs, no, like, whatever. What about hash?
Yeah, that's it. So that is... You can do it at home, yeah? Free plants. And then... At the same time, there are social clubs for 500 attendees, a social club.
It's a private club, right?
A private club.
Okay.
Non-profit. That's now important for all of us investors.
Non-profit, private club, members only.
So, you know, and they grow together up the plant. And you can join this club and get your weed out of that. And now with this hashish, it's only weed and hashish, and you're allowed to earn or buy 50 gram per month. That's it. You are not allowed to go as I. Maybe you want to smoke 75 grams or 100 grams. You are not allowed to go to two clubs, only one club.
So they're kind of like a caregivers thing in some states here?
It is.
Because there's like a caregivers club, you know what I mean? Where like, hey, like, we'll gift this to you as your medicine or whatever. So, but I think social club thing's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
How's the hash?
So
how it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I think the Moroccan hashish and something like from Afghanistan or black one or something like that is much better than our hashish.
Okay.
So they didn't really solve the black market problem or the gray market problem because everybody still wants to consume California weed or Moroccan hash.
Afghan hash.
And you have that weird system so that 500 people could get together and give away their rights and then you can have 1,500 plants growing together. In a large-scale cultivation kind of thing? Can you do that?
Yeah, so one club is only allowed with 500 or 50 gram. It's 25 kilogram, right? So that is the only possibility to get one out of one social club. But I think the really important thing for cannabis and everyone for us is this great moment because now we come to decriminalization. That means we get cannabis, public, stigma. They will be so surprised. This summer we've got the European competition, for soccer, European.
Yeah.
And we will
UEFA.
Have it.
Yeah.
UEFA, something like that, right? And now it comes into the light. Everyone smokes outside, and all the public people will be really, really surprised. Oh, there's someone with a suit. Oh, there's my neighbor. He's smoking joint. He's a job. Oh. So we are breaking up now. We are normalizing that. We are getting evidences. And when these 5 years are over, then it goes in legalization.
Right. And wait, when these 5 years are over, what happens?
Then we come into business. That's it. Then we come into business models. We can't.
And they've said that?
Sorry? Yeah. They said that. Right.
So they
Europe
said that.
Europe goes slow. Europe's very calculated. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, rah, like the United States where it's like, we want it to know. You know,
so all
you
these
guys test everything and you need to prove the model and you have to have an SOP for everything.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So they're opening up. It's all going to be still kind of gray market, black market, caregiver stuff. Stuff's going to happen everywhere. And 5 years from now, they're going to come up with a commercial regulatory system.
Right. So we can have a look now. Now there
for
is a huge rush. A lot of them will fail. But that now it's good space to come into position and to show and to see where can we go in, where are the good ones, where are good players. And you are totally right. Now the black market has the right, as in Canada or in the US or wherever, because they have the knowledge and the experience how to work with the plant. There is no one in the legalization who can grow up fantastic cannabis. So now is the moment, I think, where the good growers come.
Are there still criminal punishments for growing, manufacturing, and selling of cannabis?
If you have it in an oversizing, yes.
You will go to jail?
In a great sizing, for sure.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, I was going to fly a plane in from California, but if I land there, they're going to throw me in jail. Because it's not decrim for commercial activity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also your...
He's like, is he serious? No. I'm not going to fly a plane from California.
No, everything is cool, but I'm a little bit surprised that I understand you guys so good.
but that's the reality. I mean, you know, there's no border that really is you can drive from Spain, from Portugal to Spain, to Germany.
I mean,
that is going to be a flood of cannabis coming into Germany from other parts of Europe.
You know, here's a weird thing, though. It's because Amsterdam
is coming,
but Amsterdam's been Amsterdam for forever. Why aren't they the model?
There's no commercial. It's just
Amsterdam
bars
has and that's
clubs.
It? Okay.
And the clubs are only allowed to have like 2 kilos at a time, and there's no grow centers, and it's evolving in Amsterdam.
Okay.
Just like
because like back in like the 90s and like 2000s, like we're going to Amsterdam, we're gonna smoke weed and do what? You know what I mean? Like that was the whole thing. Like go to Amsterdam.
No, they have to have runners and stuff. And
okay. So you're saying that Amsterdam was never as evolved for cannabis as everybody made it seem until it went legal here. They're like Amsterdam isn't shit. Basically.
No, you can still go to jail for large quantities in Amsterdam.
Right, because but Amsterdam, Netherlands are changing also, because I had just a talk with Village Farms, and that's quite interesting. We are invested with our fund also in Village Farms, as TerraSend, Curia Leaf, True Leaf, all these kind of. We are in 28 companies invested with my fund. So, but the Netherlands just gave 10 licenses out for government producing recreational cannabis, and of 10 of those, they have to do minimum 40 tons per year production for capacity. That just happened. And of these 10 licenses, 9 went to Netherlands and only 1 to the US or Canada, and that got Village Farms. Village Farms at this moment builds up in the Netherlands, really close to the German border, a great facility for a lot of millions.
Village Farms.
Canada is shipping weed to the Netherlands? To Amsterdam, is that what you're saying?
Sorry?
So is Canada got one of the licenses?
No. A company from Canada.
Oh, a company. Well, that's what I'm saying, but a company from Canada.
Yeah, they have
a farm in.
Oh, they have a farm in the Netherlands.
Yes.
Yes, and they got the license also.
I thought they were growing. Yeah.
They have a license, and they have a producing. Okay. They do the producing facility. Now.
Okay. Yeah. But are they growing in Canada then shipping it over?
They're producing in Canada. And a lot of medical from the U.S. or North Canada are producing in Portugal that goes mm-hmm. into the medical market in Europe. But that's business you don't make money at this stage. It's too complicated in Germany and Europe to get for the patients from the doctor that receive for cannabis. But that breaks up now because marijuana is not on the drug list anymore in Germany. And so they don't need a difficult receipt, the doctors, at the 1st of July. It's much more easier to give a receipt for medical cannabis to the patient. So this business will break through also, but it needs time. It is, as I learned from the US, you can take an elephant only bite by bite.
What did you learn from the US?
I learned from the US, if you want to take an elephant.
Eat an elephant.
Sorry, take a typical German mistake. Yeah. If you eat an elephant, you only can do it bite by bite.
Okay. Yeah, one step at a time. You can't rush it all. You know what I mean?
I see. Well, but, you know, and that's the unfortunate. I mean, the economics and the legalization of cannabis is a very complicated, nuanced subject, but it's an unfortunate reality that it's happening in such a weird patchwork, hodgepodge, piecemeal kind of way when it's such a simple concept of just opening up the market, freeing the plant, freeing individuals to do what they're going to do, allowing local places to decide how they want to regulate time, place, and manner, and then the government getting out of the way. And that's where it needs to get. But unfortunately, you know, you have all these individuals that are trying to create these systems that quote-unquote work. When the sad part is those ideas are coming from within the cannabis industry and from our people. The fuddy-duddies, for the most part, are like, we just hate it so much we don't even want to talk about it. You know, but then those strange regulatory structures are originating and being enhanced and supported and promoted by people from within the cannabis space, which is a very strange dynamic. Like the concept of Amsterdam having only 10, 20, 30, how many licenses?
10.
10 licenses.
That's crazy.
You know, somebody came up with that idea, and it's almost protectionist in nature from the people who got those licenses. And those people are going to hire lobbyists and make sure that Amsterdam, the Netherlands, doesn't change and that they maintain control over the cannabis production for years to come, because that's kind of the nature of greed that exists, you know what I'm saying? And you see that happening in the United States, mm-hmm. where people who have licenses are poo-pooing new licenses, or people who have THC licenses are poo-pooing hemp-derived cannabis, you know, activity.
Well, you don't need a license for hemp.
Yeah, and but they're trying to make it illegal in a lot of states, and that originates from our industry. Mm-hmm. And that's just horrible thinking.
It's friendly fire or not?
It's what? Yeah, it's friendly fire.
Friendly fire, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, exactly.
Essentially.
And it seems like people have, like, you know, they're forgetting their high school education, economics, basic free market principles, basic, you know, what the United States was founded on and what best serves humanity, which is freedom and choice. And that's being lost in the conversation.
And that is that what is everything in the middle of cannabis. Cannabis is bringing together and sharing and all these kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
It should be like
should
that.
Be like
it
that.
Should be like that.
Should be like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah. So that I understand what you are saying. It's totally the opposite of that. What should be happening?
No, absolutely. And this is actually one of the reasons why I like to stay in the cannabis industry, because I see freedom and choice as the lava that drives the human condition, the human spirit, the human evolution, all things humanity. The lava is freedom. And every once in a while, the lava bursts out of the crust of the earth and exposes itself. And over time, regardless of what human beings do, systems they create, government structures they create, institutions they create for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, they'll become more restrictive. It's just inevitable because people forget the importance of freedom. And then freedom will burst out of that, you know, out of those systems, because the individual will say, hey, you know what? Those bricks that you gave me, Dad, that wall that you built, that no longer, that's a Pink Floyd reference, it no longer serves the world that I live in because it's changed, and I'm going to burst out. So freedom is that spirit. Freedom is that lava that drives humanity. And the cannabis industry, inadvertently, because they made this concept prohibition, represents, and the undercurrent of the cannabis industry is freedom. So for the last 50, 60 years, prohibition has inadvertently created this moment where the lava that drives humanity is bursting itself out in the form of the changing laws and regulations of the cannabis plan. I'm kind of rambling here, but I'm onto something.
Yeah.
And but you see what I'm saying? Because there is a point here. You know what I'm saying? Max is trying to follow what I'm talking about.
I was so focused
on you,
I'm
man.
Like,
but you see what I'm saying? And people forget the importance of freedom. Let me give you another example. You know, the principalities. Yeah. The principalities, Germany, for example.
Okay.
The principalities and kingdom.
I was thinking about it. I was like, what if the United States ended up being like each state was its own country? That'd be fucking weird now, man. Like I think there would actually be like interstate travel. Or like commerce.
Well, I mean, whatever. Each state has its own
rules and regulations. Yeah, it's
laws.
State rights.
Has its own. We are kind of our own countries in a sense.
We are,
but we all agree to adhere to one national.
We all pay taxes to the government.
Well, some of us really don't want federal taxes. We want state taxes. Some of us want that. That makes our country more powerful. Why give your power and your authority over to the federal government? Or maybe we should give it to the United Nations. But God knows, if we continue to give money to the United Nations, check it out with my German friend here, the people in Germany are really smart, and they'll say, make the Americans pay for it.
The United Nations are the ones that actually
I'm not pretty sure if we are as smart as you think anymore. Yeah, we do so terrible things, man. I don't want to speak about that, but I think we are at the moment, thank you that you said that, maybe one thing about
Germany toned it down after two world wars. They're like, hey, we got to lay low for a century or two. So the Germans are laying low for a century or two. Yeah. You know who you need to watch out for is the Swiss. If the Swiss had weapons and had like an military industrial complex, they would be dangerous people, because you know how smart, crafty, and intelligent the
fuckers
Swiss
make Legos,
are.
Absolutely,
man.
You know in every industry, in everyone,
everything,
and everyone, man.
Legos.
Can I say that? Is that politically incorrect?
What?
Is that to say the Swiss are dangerous?
No, I think the Swiss are they're very calculated, you know.
Right.
And if there ever was a country that was going to be like, fuck this, I'm not taking it anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean, I can't believe you. Just like all of a sudden they snap. It would be them.
Well, thank you
from super trauma
updating us on Germany. What do you want people to know about your fund and how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, what is this fund? How do people invest in this fund? Because it's a fund that you're then investing into other companies.
Yeah,
and it's publicly traded.
Yeah, it's.
What does your book look like? I'm so curious now. Like,
yeah, that is. At first, I want you talked about the special magic that has cannabis inside. Freedom, bringing people together. One of the oldest culture, medical, and useful plants in human history. So the company of my name is Can Soul. So we talked about that. The lovers of the plant and flower and all of these kind of stuff. So I'm really interested from the beginning to recultivate cannabis, to educate, to bring transparency in the market. No one, we had such a huge stigma in Germany. And yes, we talk a lot of time over the great impact also in sustainability, what the hemp plant has in outdoor growing, CO2 and all these kind of stuff.
Right.
So that is our philosophy.
Yeah? Philosophy, yeah.
So we are investing with our fund. I have the only license in Europe for a usage fund where the publics and institutionals can invest in this company. We have 28 companies in our fund at this moment, about 20 of the US, 8 from Canada, all the big players inside. And in our fund, the German society is able to invest in our fund. And we, with the raised money, we invest in the Canadian and in the US companies. And I'm here at Bitzinger to come in touch. I came in touch with all the big players. I want to invite them to tell their story and show the cannabis business and industry what's going on over here over years. Really big industrial industry, state-of-the-art production facilities, nice dispensaries and so on, to show that to the German audience. And so I would love to come in touch with everyone who says, okay, I want to go the transatlantic cannabis bridge. Yes, I'm the German guy. Come in touch with Daniel. I'm honest and I'd love to... Yes, talk. Come and talks with you, and if there's someone who wants to present his company in Germany on the digital way or however, can come in touch with me.
No, that's fantastic. We are pleased to have been able to introduce you and your company. Got a brief insight as to what's going on in Germany, and we're going to do a whole bunch more shows on Germany because Germany is a big deal.
Yeah,
we're trying to get the podcast out to interview German businesses at Mary Jane.
Yeah.
The big upcoming thing, we want to set up the podcast and introduce all these German businesses and opportunities to our American market for the podcast. And so if you know anybody who wants to sponsor our podcast out there, let us know.
Yes, I want to, because I know also the founder of Mary Jane. It's Nung. She's a girl from Vietnam. She does with her brother a great job over there.
You want to introduce us or you want to sponsor the podcast?
I want to bring you in touch with her because I got her phone number right here.
Call her up and tell her we want to set this up, you know, so we can interview people out there.
Yeah.
But
okay, that's great. Hey, Nung, it's Daniel. Yeah, I'm not in Hamburg. I'm not in Berlin. I am at Miami with Dimitri and with my new friend,
Max.
And they are the two guys of podcast around cannabis and in the world, man, the world leader. And so, Nung, they want to come in touch with you. They want to talk about Mary Jane, and I will make the contact for you.
We are making things happen at Benzinga 2024. All kinds of crazy shit happens here. There's all kinds of people from around the world. A lot of capital activity, but there's a lot to be learned in cannabis. It's
right.
A very complicated, nuanced subject. But stay tuned to Meet Unshackled to learn more and to meet more people.
Do you want me to go to Germany and tell them how it could be? I'll go to Germany.
Well, we need to get a sponsor on that, brother.
Oh, okay, well, fine. I mean,
we're more than willing to go to Mary Jane.
I still got family in Hungary.
And we wouldn't be here if it wasn't thanks to Terpene Warehouse and Pure 5. So thank you, guys. We'll be back with another episode of Meat Unshackled.